Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
My line is open. Yeah, my line is open, so I'm going to close.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
All right. And these are just some of the places, platforms, I should say, where you can see, hear, feel, and touch
the Female Solution.
Spotify, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Blog Talk Radio, which is finally working. Yay!
Yeah.
And Google Podcasts, Podbean, and On Air Everywhere.
Yeah. Yes. Well, you know, this topic here, I guess the reason why it was so hot, because there's so many people who are struggling with how to deal with what they see as infidelity in their spouses, their mates, their significant others, those who they thought they had a...
I opened your mic back up because I couldn't hear me. Now I can hear.
Okay.
That's Michael.
Great.
I'll leave that. As long as it doesn't interfere, I've got it open.
Yes, as long as you don't get an echo.
I'm sorry, so go right ahead.
Yes. So, you know, one of the things that we are concerned about is that there are so many people whose relationships have disintegrated, and they're angry, and sometimes people get angry to the point of violence. When they feel that someone is leaving them or threatening to leave them. We talked about this on Dr. Debbie's show. You know, it's really kind of an epidemic, what she calls murder-suicide, where, you know, it's almost like, well, if I can't have you, nobody can. So, you know, before it gets to that point of physical violence or even such emotional distress that you do, like, what was that Janet Jackson did in Why Did I Get Married Too? And she tore up the house.
Yeah.
Just flipped all out. Well, you know, we have some of that too.
Yeah.
People feel like, you know, you cheated on me, I'm going to break out the windows in your car, you know, I'm going to tear up all your clothes, like on what was that that Angela Bassett was in?
Belladonna Groove Band.
Yes. And, you know, you have a lot of people that they react with extreme emotion when they fear they're about to lose the one they love, or that the one they love has been intimately involved with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to learn better ways of responding, especially because you can't control how another person behaves. And you really don't own anyone's emotions, even if you have a commitment to be exclusive. There has to be a civil way for you to decide, well, is this relationship over? Or did you merely have an interlude with someone else? Or are you building a relationship with someone else in addition to me? Or are you and I done and we need to just part ways respectfully? You got to figure out what the situation is. And if you're the one who's trying to step away and step to somebody else, then how do you bring that to your partner honestly so that you don't end up triggering inappropriate behavior such as violence, even if it's verbal abuse? You know, it's no reason somebody call you names. You say, well, you know, the love is gone. You know, it was the Gladys Knight song, Neither One of Us Wants to Be the First to Say Goodbye.
Right.
So sometimes you have to realize when a relationship really is over. Maybe the romance is gone, or maybe the interest is gone, or whatever the case is. But one of you needs to have the maturity to just say out loud, it's time for us to move on. This is not working.
Yeah.
And I'd rather tell you to your face and have you find out that I'm seeing this person on the side and really planning to kind of move away from you. You know, there got to be better ways to deal with it. But if what you're finding out is the one you love is just merely still playing the field, even though you thought it was exclusive,
okay,
how do you deal with that? And is that grounds for ending the relationship, or do you all just need to really have a talk about it? And can you talk about it in a way that's civil without a lot of name-calling and anger because you feel betrayed?
And we have not made it there yet. We are still, as the children say, we are all up in our feelings, honey. We are just all over the place, just exploding and just doing crazy things that we will regret. But see, right about now, we're in our feelings. And it is those emotions that will keep you trapped in a place that you don't want to be longer than you want to be there. How do I know?
So have you ever been first of all, have you ever been the person who walked away from it?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us about that. What did you learn from that?
I'm going to share this, and I don't know if Tony's ever heard this or not, but he's about to hear it now. probably about in the late 80s, early 90s, I was in a relationship with a young man who had a drug problem.
Mm.
And I didn't know he had a drug problem. And when you got a drug problem, you do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do in order to get those drugs.
Mm.
And one of the things that he did was he went out and started, he didn't have a relationship. He slept with a hooker.
Ooh.
He came back and told me that. He was just that kind of person. He had integrity about himself because we were close. But when he told me that, I was like, wow, you slept with a prostitute?
Mm.
And you expect me to hang around?
Wow.
I said, well, let me make this easy for you, because we are no longer a couple. We can remain in contact, which we have, and I guess he couldn't take it. But we will not be together, because the fact that you sought solace in another woman because we were having issues, you broke that bond. So I can't trust you. So if I can't trust you, I don't need to be around you. That's my thinking. Because if you did it once, chances are that's a great possibility that you might do it again. So I applaud him for having the courage to share with me that he did have an affair, not an affair, a one-night stand with a prostitute. And come to find out, because we hadn't seen each other in some days, he had an infection. And I was like, thank you very much for not sharing your affection with me. And to this day, I'm very grateful for that, because I could have, you know, HPV, that virus thing that popped up in the room. And I had a cousin that passed from that, so it was 10 years ago. I didn't know about his thing, but the fact that he had the integrity to share with me, and that left me to decide whether or not I wanted to continue that relationship. And I decided not to continue that relationship because I had to be good to me. I was already in a volatile situation. I was homeless at the time.
Oh, wow.
I was homeless. I was homeless in the respect that I didn't have my own apartment or home. I was living with my brother, who had a big house, and I could have my own bedroom and, you know, do whatever I wanted. You know, come and go as I please, but it wasn't mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I still felt homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So the way that I overcame that was just not to be around him. And once again, that reinforced the thought in my head that, one, I will never get married because men can't be trusted. Number two, yeah, Tony looking at me shaking his head. Well, I'm just telling you what I felt, because I had never seen a marriage in my family or anywhere else for that matter, but specifically in my family where there was, it was a positive marriage. It was a loving marriage. Every relationship I saw in my family, somebody was cheating. Whether it was the man or the woman, somebody was cheating. And I didn't want to be to settle into a relationship where that was going to happen. So I decided, number one, I'm not getting married. Number two, I don't trust men, until Tony came along and changed that whole thinking mindset that I had. So that's what I mean by not cheating yourself. If I had stayed in that relationship and took a chance on catching a venereal disease, I probably would have beat myself down even more because if I had stayed in the relationship. That's cheating me. That's not cheating the other person. That's cheating me, because my body, mind, and spirit told me, no, you don't want to do this. You don't want to go through this. And I think, Naima, and I may be wrong, but I think I brought that experience into my life because that's what I feared.
Mm-hmm.
I feared that I would get in a relationship and somebody would cheat on me, because I've been ingrained with the thought all my life that men are cheaters. And I saw that from my four brothers, and they were all players. So I never saw anything where the man was real. Tony's going, yeah, didn't know that, did you? So I had to come to the realization that I drew him into my life to prove the point that the power of the mind, I said I didn't want to be cheated on, but that's not what was going on, that subconscious mind that was rolling, telling me that all men are cheaters, all men are unfaithful. So I brought that to myself. Does that make sense?
Well, everything that we experience, we bring to ourselves, because whatever you focus on is what you draw to you.
Mm-hmm.
So what you fear and fear intensely, that's the reality that you create. And this is why, you know, when people are constantly thinking, all these men are no good, they're no good, they're no good, they all lie. Well, then you will attract you a no good man who lies.
That's what happened. I didn't attract a man who was unfaithful. I attracted a man who was faithful to himself.
Mm.
And he was there to teach me the lesson to be faithful to myself.
Absolutely.
And learn to be okay without him or any other man for that matter. So I remained single until I was 55. If I just want to stack a bounce. I'm not married. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
But you know, what we've learned is that is what men have learned how to be. And we've heard that from men when we've listened in on their men-only discussion on the Female Solution on the fourth Saturday. The fourth Wednesday of every month. And they have a men-only discussion where they talk about these things, you know, so-called privately, but we're listening. But they've all said that this is what I was told by the older men in my life who reared me and who I admired. They said, hey, get as much sex as you can from as many as you can. And yes, that's the mark of manhood.
Why'd you call that, Tommy? Get the draws, dog. He said, yeah.
So if that's what young boys are taught is manhood, then how does that change when no one ever says, okay, well, now that you've done that, that really wasn't the right thing to do. What you should do is be faithful to your wife. There's never a reversal of those original instructions. So the idea is you have your wife, the person you're going to have your family with, you're slick enough, then you have your girls on the side and just make sure she don't find out about it. And that's kind of like the inside joke that men have. So now what women have started doing is saying, well, look, if you're going to play, so am I. So now everybody's out here being dishonest. And, you know, like you say, you have some harmful and even fatal diseases that come with multiple sex partners where people are not conscious of the vibration that they're carrying to someone else and the mixing of body fluids and hygiene habits and all of those things that aren't pleasant that we experience when people are not exclusive as they promised to be.
What did you say, Tony?
This might say they cheat on you. That hurts. That hurts bad.
For those of you who didn't hear my hubby in the background, he said, well, somebody tells you that. You can't trust. How can you? Trust has been broken. Tony's saying that hurts. You can't trust the person after they've done that to you and told you that. How can you?
So the question is, can you forgive? And if you forgive, does that mean you treat them as if it never happened? Or does that mean you keep bringing it up, warning them it better not happen? How do you deal with it if you choose to forgive and stay in the relationship? If you choose,
how much you love that person.
So he says it depends on how much you love that person.
That's what it depends on.
Now, the second thing is, what if the person that they cheated with is still around and still available? How do you prevent them from going back to that person if they have been involved and that other person ain't done yet? They feel like, well, I don't have any loyalty to your mate. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do. So how do you handle that? Do you approach that other person? Look, stay away from my man. I know we got to take a break, but afterwards I'll share my story of a person. Now, I was involved with this person. I did not know that they were married. And then I got a visit from their wife. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
We all
got a story. Yes, we do.
We will definitely talk about that one. So are you running the board this morning?
Well, you may want to watch some visual ads, so you can go ahead and handle that if you like.
I bet I got to let people know about what's going on with their rights. So while I'm pulling up the commercial, I just want to play like a few seconds of this because you don't know it, but your rights are being in jeopardy. And when you go to vote and poll this, November? November? Yeah, we may not be able to do that. So I want to shoot.
Quite upset at that.
Yeah, because 77, over half of the polls in Chicago have been closed.
Ooh. Oh, dear.
Yeah. And that's in our communities.
Oh, that's not good.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony and the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
And today's show is dedicated to the memory of the husband of the voice that you heard. That's Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, who was once, she's still our sister of the microphone, but she was once one of our hosts here on The Female Solution. And her husband, Taz, he was ran over in the middle of the street. What was it, 87th and Ashland, about a month ago?
Yes, yes.
His funeral and memorial is today at 2 o'clock, so we'll be rushing out of here to go there. But in the meantime, in between time, please subscribe to our YouTube channel, Higher Learning TV Show, and our Facebook channel for updates. And now Naima is about to share with us her story.
Yes, well, this was back in the day when I was attending school at the University of Nebraska, you know, back in the early 80s. And I was seeing a young man who, he was from Mississippi, and his family, he and his cousins had come up north and settled in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were dating, we were seeing each other, you know, hanging out and all that sort of thing, you know, going out, going to shows, come by for dinner, all that sort of thing. I had no idea he had a family. So I get a knock on the door one evening, and a young lady holding a little baby, little one about 18-month-old baby, she's got in her arms, little cute little chubby child, and she says, hi, I wanted to come and see you. I need to talk to you. We need to have a woman to other woman talk." And I'm like, "What? who?" So I invite her in. We sat down on the couch, and she explained that her husband had been seeing me, and you know, she wanted me to know. And you know, she made a point. She had her baby on her lap and everything. She said, "I wanted you to know he has a family. You know, and I don't want to lose my family." I mean, she was appealing to me as a woman. You know. I'm sitting there like stunned, like I say, "Well, he never mentioned you or his child." Definitely. So I had no knowledge you even existed. And, you know, I mean, she wasn't angry or anything. She was just kind of appealing to my conscience. You know, here's a man with a little baby, and, you know, and he's been spending time with me as if he intends to leave his family. So she, I think she actually traveled up to Nebraska from Mississippi.
I told you I'd take care of it, Tony.
To find out who this other woman was that her husband was seeing, and, you know, made it her point to come by and meet me and let me know that this was a man with a family, you know, a young baby. And so I said, "Well, I'm glad you came by. I appreciate it. I certainly didn't know he was married with a child. So, you know, I'll make sure that I let him know that you have come by to visit me."
Wow.
So I think that next day or the day after, I called him, and he came over, and I said, "Well, you know, I can't see you anymore. Your wife came with the baby." You know? So he was like, "Oh, well, you know, sometimes women don't understand, you know, a man's going to be a man. And you know, most men, they really don't, they really want more than one woman. And you know, women don't always understand that, you know, I didn't want her to be upset, you know, this is why I was with somebody that was not from my hometown." And so I'm like, "Oh, really? So what was your intention?" And he's like, "Well, you know, she's down there and you up here, so it wouldn't have been no problem." Oh, well, no, there's a problem, because you are married with a child, and that's not something that I do. I don't get involved with, you know, family men. So I told him, of course, that was the end of our relationship. But it was interesting. I found her method admirable, because she came to me very respectfully. She made sure she brought that baby, though, so that I could visualize,
yes,
this is a family that you're tearing apart.
Yes, yes. The damage
so
that you're doing.
So I could feel that. And I was able to find out from him that his intention was to have, you know, women up north, myself, and then his wife down south in Mississippi.
Okay.
And he was going to be happy with that. You know,
okay.
So that brings out the fact that a lot of men may get into relationships, and they may even marry someone without having the slightest intention of being faithful. They just intend for their other relationships not to be known by the wife. And for them, that's okay, because that may have been how the men in their environment operated. Everybody had the wife and the woman on the side. And I'm learning more about that. The more I talk to men, the more they say that, "Well, yeah, everybody does that." And this is what can be upsetting. If everybody does that, that means none of our relationships are really based on truth. It's based on deception. And the idea is, just don't get caught.
Yeah, just don't get caught.
So is that, and I've been told by many men, "Look, this is how it's always been,
and this is how it's going to always be."
And this is how it's going to always be.
Mm-hmm.
Which really is, it does a disservice to everybody involved. If people are believing that you are involved with them exclusively, and then they find out later you're not. Now, just think, now, what would happen if I had gotten intimately involved with this man, which I'm, thank God I did not, because that was just not my practice. Because I knew that, you know, once you get pregnant by somebody who has not made a commitment to you, then, you know, they basically have you in a position of struggle for the rest of your life. For my life, didn't include that.
Okay.
But if I had, what if I'd had a child? And then I'm saying, well, why can't we get married? And he'd be like, well, I got a wife. Yeah, I'd have been ready to kill him, you know, or strangle him or beat him good. You know, I mean, I would have been furious. But how many women does that happen to where you got, you know, this one with the man's baby and that one with the man's baby and that one with the man's baby, and none of them know each other? And then when they find out about each other, they're at perpetual war with each other, fighting over who's
the, instead of the man.
Instead of the man. Instead of the man saying, why did you deceive me? Why did you misuse her and deceive me? You really, you misused both of us, but you're right. Instead of the women being angry at the man, they end up being angry at each other.
And that is so wrong. And it
is
so unnecessary.
Which is why I respect
another woman.
Yeah, why are you attacking another woman?
The choice
that a man made. Your man made that choice, but you mad
your
at
man
her.
Made that choice. So why are you attacking her? She probably didn't know, just like
I didn't know. I had no clue. I mean, his wife was all the way down there in Mississippi. I had no idea that she even existed, much less alone a child. Of course, he never mentioned her.
Of course not.
You know? So a lot of times, women don't even know, which is why I appreciate it and respect the way his wife, I don't know if she drove up to the train or whatever, but she came up to find me.
Yep.
And let me know, he has a wife and child back home. I would not have known. So a lot of times, men will approach a woman, and they never mention they're married. And they never mention they got children. And so you thinking you got this relationship that's building, and you get all involved and emotionally attached, and you think you got a future with this person, and they already built a life with somebody else. So now what is that? And I want to know, and if you all have ever done this, if you've ever done it, I know some of y'all have, call us, 515-605-9325, and tell us what was on your mind when you decided to have that other relationship. Were you, was it during a time where you maybe were thinking of breaking it off with the one you had because maybe things weren't going well and you weren't sure, is it over, is it not over, or maybe just let me see how someone else makes me feel? Were you thinking, oh, I can probably have both of them. They live in different parts of the town or even different cities, so I can, you know, have me my double life. A lot of people do that. You know, they got a family over here, family over there, and you never find out until the person dies, and then you got all these people coming to the funeral like, wait a minute, who is this person?
And then there's chaos and confusion at the funeral.
Yes.
You want to avoid that if possible.
Yes.
Let me tell you, there wasn't chaos at the funeral, but my brother, rest in peace. My oldest brother.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was on the south side. His woman was on the north side.
Mm.
He has children from his wife, and now he has children from his mistress.
Mm.
But I commend him on what he did, because I don't know if I'd have did it. You don't know what you're going to do to you in that situation.
Right.
He introduced his children to each other.
Well, now that was
admirable. I don't know, because I had moved out, if his wife, and I don't want to call any names of children because they're still living when they may see this.
Right.
But I thought it was important what he did to introduce the siblings to each other, because children, young people, adults, if they get together and start a relationship, and that relationship produces some children,
what happens to find out you?
There's going to be some problems. There's going to be some serious problems. There's going to be some birth defects. There's going to be a whole, there's just a whole gamut of issues that can arise from that. And then
and
when everybody happens. Shows up at the funeral, at the family
reunion.
Like, so why are those people sitting over there not talk to us, and why are these people running things when I know we should be running things? So I applaud him for doing that. I didn't agree with it at the time. I was too young to understand. But now that I understand, it makes no sense to keep things in the dark, because it's going to come out eventually.
Yeah.
It may happen at the funeral, and it might not, but it's going to come out some shape, form, or fashion. So I said that to say this. what's done in the dark comes to the light. So you
yes.
choose how you want the light to shine in your life.
Yes, and that's the thing. A lot of times people have not let their children know that they have half brothers and sisters somewhere. And I remember a couple of years ago of a case where two people got together. They were about to get married. And then they found out that they had the same father.
Oh.
And they were in love, and they were trying to figure out. They were devastated because, like, you know, because one of them things where the girl didn't know her father and, you know, all that sort of thing. And then come to find out, you know, the same father. And what were they supposed to do? And so the question was, do we go ahead and get married? Well, no, we can't get married because they're brother and sister. But it was devastating. And these things happen more than you would realize. You don't know what is this drawing you to somebody, and you don't realize that you are family, blood family, and is one of those relationships that the father didn't tell anybody. And sometimes women may not tell the husband. Women may get pregnant by one person and then marry somebody else. And if they do it when the child is young enough, the child may never know that this is not their blood father. So that happens a lot as well. So I think you have to always tell the truth. Always tell the children who their real parents are, even if they're raised by somebody else, even if that other person is with another family. They deserve to know who their relationships are, who their relations are, who their brothers and sisters are from another mother or whatever the case may be. But it happens often. And it can really wreck your life. But now what I want to know, if anybody has ever had the experience of having a child that perhaps they didn't know they have come into their life later on after they've started family with someone else, and then they have somebody come back and say, well, I'm your child. If that's ever happened to you, how do you handle that? Do you bring that? Do you welcome into your family? Do you say, get away from me? I don't know you. I don't want my spouse knows you exist. How do you handle it when a child emerges from your past that you didn't intend anybody to know about?
Wow. Deborah Smith says, our other star of the microphone says, 100. 100 everything we're talking about. Yeah, because you talk about keeping it real, as the young people say. You got to keep it real. Like, you got to tell the truth.
Yeah,
because not telling the truth was going to have you in a place you don't want to be in. They don't feel good being in an environment, in
it
a situation that you don't feel good in. I mean, you just radiate pain. You can see the pain on their faces. You see people who are in pain, they look like they're in pain. It's just something hurting everywhere. Headache, backache, shoulders, arm, butt, feet, ankle, everything hurts.
Yes.
So that pain is there for a reason, to teach you not only to be in a relationship.
Oh, no.
Situation that you don't have to. You have a choice. So why not use that choice? The choice is yours. You know, sometimes you just got to block out other people, places, and things. And get quiet. That's why we talked about the meditate, the activate on Monday morning mindfulness. You know, we need a routine on a daily basis on what to do, how to do it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Whatever brings you peace.
Absolutely.
Peace is yours.
Yes.
You make a choice to stay in a place you don't want to be longer than you want to be there.
Well, now that's another issue, coming to peace. How do you handle it? If you find out that one you love is involved in whether it's extramarital relationship, or if you all are just supposed to be in a committed relationship and they are not committed exclusively to you, how do you handle it? Do you express anger? And if you express anger, who do you express anger at? You know, we've talked about women being angry at each other, and that doesn't make a lot of sense. Because you're angry at someone who's involved with this person just like you are. Now, there's two things. if a person's married, the idea is they have made a decision that they are done looking around, they found someone, and this is who they're going to be with. If they are not married, that means they have not made that decision, which is kind of unfair because you've got that period of time when people are dating when either party might decide, well, look, I'm really not sure if it's the one I'm still looking. So if the two people have not decided that their relationship is heading toward the exclusivity of marriage, then at any point in time, either party is free to go. So can you then get angry if they decide, well, I'm really still looking or I still want to enjoy the company of another person? Can you get angry? And I have seen people be ready to come to blows by saying, she's trying to take my man. Nobody can take anyone from you. And I think I've told this story before. I had two 8th grade students, girls, you know, going to fight each other over a boy. And I'm like, okay, so are you expecting that the one that wins the fight is going to win the man? And then I asked young men, okay, if you have two girls that you like and they're fighting over you, do you go with the one that wins the fight? And they all laughed, you know, one of them said, and I said, which one would you choose out of the two girls to fight? And so one of them said, well, it depends on which one's the cutest. And then another one said, well, it depends on if you know, which ones get a face scarred up in the fight, you know. So,
oh, my goodness.
So, you know, and then one said, well, you know, it depends if the one that win the fight, if she fight that girl, she might beat you up if you don't go with her. So,
It's some rough women out here.
Saw
a woman yesterday lift 660 pounds.
Oh, yeah, it's some rough women.
I'd not fight with her. I know you
wouldn't. So the point that I wanted to make to the girls is that you're fighting each other, and their reason for choosing you has nothing to do with who wins this fight. Not really. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to care for you if you win. So I said, what's the point of you fighting? And the one who was accusing the other of taking on a man, she said, well, I just want to get my respect. So then to show that you are going to be respected, you beat up the young lady who is attracting the young man that you're involved with, and that gets you respect. And she said, yeah. So I'm wondering now, are these girls, and it's really very widespread in not just high school but grammar school, are they learning these principles from the women in their lives, their mothers, their aunts, their older sisters, cousins, whatever? Are they learning that from us, that if another woman is attracting your man, then you have a right to physically assault her in order to make her respect your territory? Is that what we're teaching young girls?
And is that self-respect or street respect?
And maybe street respect, for them, that's what's most important.
Street respect is more, you know, I got to keep it real, I got to keep it 100 because that's what's happening in the streets. Yeah, but you can't bring the street home with you. You got to live with that. And if you don't have respect for yourself not to be in a relationship, well, you can say that, though, but you marriage is not the end all. If you are not in love with self, I didn't meet Tony until I fell in love with me. That's a whole nother show.
That's it. You got to love yourself. You're going to bring to you the reflection of how you feel about yourself is what you're going
to
attract.
You draw that to you. And when we come back from the next break in a few minutes, I want to talk. We really need to spend some time on this self-respect and street respect, because the laws, the universal laws that we live by, the laws that were created by the universe, I think will give us more respect than any street respect, because it's a man-made law. That is a law that was designed by man to validate or authenticate who you are as a person, what you will and will not do or allow to be in your life. That's a man-made law. But the Creator's law, the law that says, I take the time to listen to what the Creator, whatever you choose to call he, she, it, God, Jesus, Jehovah, Allah, Yahweh, whatever you choose to call it. What's more important is that you connect with it inside of yourself.
Right.
And we too busy connecting with the street because we got to have street cred because, you know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Then some. Man, had a little hot sauce on it. No.
And even if you get street cred, let's say you beat up the person who attracted your mate. Will that translate into love in your household, or will it just make that person do it behind your back as opposed to in your face?
Mm.
So what are you really trying to do? And can you make someone not love someone? Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
That feasible?
Yeah.
You know, self, I cannot tell you, self-respect is the most important respect you're going to ever get in life, because if you don't have what it takes within you to show your self-respect by saying no and not being afraid to be alone, which is only at one with self,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to continue to have some, and I say that from experience. This ain't what I heard. And after that relationship where I was cheated on, I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship for a while. I just don't.
Mm.
And I wasn't, because I was too busy working on me.
Yeah.
And it was after, like, I think it was, I don't know, 6 months or a year, I'm okay with being alone. Because that's just who I am.
You must love yourself.
But it was after that 6 months or a year. I don't remember how long ago, because it was 40, 50 years ago. I don't remember. But that's when men who value me as a person showed up in my life.
Right.
We started dating again.
Right.
And I was being treated like the queen that I know I am. I wasn't accepting anything less.
Mm.
No, you're not going to take me to McDonald's. You're going to take me to a white linen restaurant. Knives and forks. And there's another story I got to tell you about McDonald's, because I married the man who took me to McDonald's on the first date. But use that as an example.
Well, let's talk about, when we come back from the break, let's talk about what are signs that a person values you. Now, I might, after the break, it might take me a minute because I have to switch devices. But when you see me again, you can just pull up my device.
Okay, I will do that. And right now I'm just going to pull up the cheat retreat just so that they can see it. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation on respect, self-respect, because if we don't respect us, who will?
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head.
Hello?
No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. Take advantage of the deal of the day. Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on Cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Thank you. Better. Make up, make up, make up, make up, make up.
Okay, now I've got enough to do this. Okay, now I'm doing that. All right, so here we go.
No, I don't think that will be.
Are you able to hear me okay?
I hear you fine, but I missed the last commercial, so I
said, so did you have the switchboard up?
I just closed it out.
Okay. I think I may have, can't do it while I'm driving.
While you were driving, I was looking for, I'll pull up,
there we go.
Here we go.
Very first thing that you do is learn from being empowered. Well, because if you can't forgive yourself,
you can't forgive anybody. Right. And sometimes we beat ourselves up. Well, what did I enter with somebody like that anyway? What's wrong with me? I must be stupid. And we have to stop thinking that other people's behavior is our fault or our responsibility. People act according to their own level of consciousness, their own way of thinking, their own programming. And it has nothing to do with who we are or our self-worth. We have to stop judging ourselves based on other people's behavior. And people behave the way they're going to behave. It has nothing to do with, am I smart enough? Am I pretty enough? Am I cute enough? You are who you are. You are a creation of God. You are perfect just as you are. Either they are attracted to and desire you for what you are, or they don't. And if they don't, well, that's on them. That still doesn't change your worth. Uh-oh. Sorry. I said all these wonderful things and y'all didn't hear me. Can't hear me? Sorry. And so I said that another person's behavior does not define your worth. And so you have to value yourself regardless of what another person does and who another person is attracted to. If someone is attracted to someone else, that doesn't mean you're not enough, not good enough, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not sexy enough. It doesn't have anything to do with you. It's their choice that they made, which is based on how they think and how they feel. It doesn't have anything to do with you. So we have to stop basing our self-worth on other people's needs. Has nothing to do with your self-worth.
What did you say?
Another person's behavior does not define your worth.
Self-worth. Because we look at that as, what's wrong with me? Why did he cheat on me? It wasn't about you, baby.
It was never about you.
These were his issues.
Yes.
Never.
Taking this personal. About you. Yes.
Them.
It's about them.
So you're with you.
Right. People do things that make them feel better, and a lot of times relationships for some people are just like a drug, you know. Sex can be an addiction just like alcohol or food or drugs. I mean, anything. Yeah, and they just want to feel like something. It doesn't even almost doesn't matter who that person is. It just I just need to have somebody so I can get this feeling. But they don't. That I mean, it's different than developing a relationship with somebody that you are, you know, planning some things together, and somebody where you just want that temporary physical thrill to get your endorphins going in your body. But it doesn't really matter who they are, because you got to look at some people are. It's like men are womanizers, some women are manizers, you know. And, you know, the kind of people end up on Maury, you know. So if that's the kind of person that you have attracted, then you have to look at what signals did I send that I didn't value myself enough, where I let someone who doesn't value people select me as just another person that they didn't value. Because you do have to look at how are people treating other people in their life. And sometimes women make the mistake of thinking, well, you know, he might treat other people badly, but he's not going to do that to me. Well, this is how he treats people. Yeah, he is. Because that's how he treats people. And it's got nothing to do with you. Some people don't have a healthy respect for other people. And so you're going to be another person that they don't have healthy respect for. So you have to also look at that as well. What signals are people giving you when it comes to how they treat the people in their lives? If they treated everybody else bad, if they cheated on the last person to get to you, that should tell you something. You know, okay, he cheated on her with me. What makes me think he's going to be faithful to me when he wasn't faithful to her?
So, it's not that you're not that special, because you are special. They just don't know.
They just don't know it, and that's just how they treat people. You know, you have to know that you're special. You have to know that a person has integrity in their relationships, regardless of who they are. If they don't have integrity with someone else, they're not going to have integrity with you. So how you get involved with someone has a lot to do with what ultimately ends up happening in that relationship. Is it somebody that has a pattern of valuing people, or is it someone who has a pattern of lying? Just like the guy that I knew in college, you know, okay, he cheated on his wife. So I would have been stupid to say, well, let me see if I can take him from his wife, because he's already shown he didn't value the honesty that was supposed to be in their relationship with me, going to another state to get a woman on the side. So what would make me think he wouldn't do that with me? So, you know, we have to look at a person's pattern. This is the situation that we find ourselves in when we are making decisions on whether or not someone is worthy of our trust. We have to always look at are they worthy of our trust based on how are they treating other people? And are they treating other people in a way that shows that they have respect? So, this is what we have to ask ourselves when we are dealing with relationships. So, of course, if you are someone who is concerned about the person in your life, are they truthful? Are they trustworthy? Are they someone you can build a life with? Have they cheated? Should you forgive them? You have to look at how are they treating the other people in their lives, and do they have integrity? And if they don't, they probably will also not have integrity with you. This is not an easy thing, because many times people don't want to let go of a long-term relationship. This is one of the difficulties that we have. We're going to see if we can get back to self. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're now at the funeral procession.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.